Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Have you ever wanted to hear the story behind some of the most compelling hauntings in history? From Amityville to The Conjuring, The Grave Talks podcast takes you there.
Three times a week, Tony Bruschi, host of Grave Talks, talks to the people who experience shocking paranormal phenomena firsthand. He dives into how the experience affected those who survived it and how it made them who they are today.
What really happened to the Perron family inside their haunted house? What was it like investigating side by side with Ed and Lorraine Warren as they stepped foot inside the infamous Amityville house? Hear supernatural stories that you will not find anywhere else than The Grave Talks.
Search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe. Then start binging away on the ghost stories no one ever thought would be told. That is Grave Talks. Search for wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of season 3. If you've just joined, I am Robin of A Tired Witch on Instagram, and I am joined by the lovely Maria of Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
Well, thank you. You're so whippy.
I'm so whippy. Watch me say it again. It's honestly, I think I burned it into my brain at this point that this is just what
only
I do.
On our coffee talk, just so people know. Every time on our coffee talks, whippy. Robin reads out whippy instead
every
of witchy.
Every time. It's been like 5 weeks in a row. It's embarrassing.
It's so good.
I promise I can read, guys, but barely.
It's okay. I'm usually the one, you know, messing it up. So it's nice. It's nice. It's nice.
Is it a nice taking it on? I'm the illiterate one.
Yeah.
For you, I would do this.
I appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. I do want to mention before we get started with this episode that if you are listening to this on December 17th, so let's see, that is a week away from when this episode comes out, just a little over. Mm-hmm. We have another class set up on our Patreon in the library tier. If you are familiar with works such as Antique Anatomy, the tarot deck, or mm-hmm. Claire's new book, which is Seances, right?
It's just called The Seances.
The Book of Seances. Mm-hmm. I was close.
And she also did the Memento Mori deck, which was
yeah.
Very
and
good.
A bunch of like add-ons to it. So like mm-hmm. if you are familiar with this deck, it is an Oracle deck. And then she sold like extras that you can add on to the original deck, making it a super deck, which is very cool. She will be hosting a class on our Patreon mm-hmm. for library tier and up, which will be on seances. So it'll be seances 101. And as always, if you would love to watch the class, but you are unable to make it on December 17th, you can still join library tier and up to watch it because we will post it a couple days after mm-hmm. the class. So we hope to see you there.
Yeah, and Claire really wants to answer your questions and stuff mm-hmm. like throughout the entire thing. So
she's so stoked.
Yeah. So it's going to be very good. So highly recommend.
Very excited for this class. Not that we haven't been excited for the other ones. They've also been great.
They've all been so good.
They have been. They've all been so good. Actually, that being said, if you are on the fence about it, joining or, you know, whatever, we've been keeping the classes up. So you'll have a backlog of the other classes as well. So mm-hmm. something to consider. If you just joined us, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize that in your magical practice. Now, that being said, the day that this episode comes out, the day before, will have been the last day of the full moon. So that means that the day that our next episode comes out, so our last one for season three, is actually the day of the new moon, which is December 23rd. This will be the new moon in Capricorn. And in my personal opinion, Capricorn moons, whether they are full or new, are just like a really, really good time to kind of take tally of your life. I know we kind of say this a lot when it comes to like Virgos and Capricorns for their moons, but Capricorns especially are really good at compartmentalizing things and getting it done. I've never met a Capricorn in my entire life that was not like the most like list oriented, driven individuals I've ever met. That's why I have a lot of Capricorn friends, because I need them to ground me. So in this particular new moon, it would be my recommendation, with the new year coming up, it would be my recommendation to utilize this time period to kind of take tally of the year that we've had and the year that is to come. So perhaps we do some reflective journaling or shadow work that is centered around things that we're going to leave behind from the year that we've just experienced, from 2022. And then do the witchcraft portion of it, of setting intentions and goals that are bigger for 2023. Mm-hmm. I know Maria in the past and I have talked about different like new year rituals that we've done. I know we have a bunch on the Patreon. Although it's a little early, on the eve of Christmas Eve to perhaps do new year rituals, I don't really see that
Capricorn does go all the way until like New Year's, so I mean
that is true, and we are in waxing at that time as well, so we've got growth that comes with it.
Hell
so
yes.
although we don't have the new start that maybe the new moon brings us, you still can pull in that same sort of growth and energy throughout that time. So I say utilize it for some hardcore intention setting for 2023.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Like, yeah, I think Capricorn's a great moon for like saving money too. Like, you know, thinking about what you want to put away in the upcoming year. That's why during the dark moon also, like, it has a very Scrooge type energy and being miserly and like wanting to penny pinch and stuff like that. But, you know, the new moon, you can do it in a way more healthier way where you can be like, well, I'm saving towards this. Like, how can I put money towards that?
And if you were going to do some longer spell work, perhaps we're doing like a 7 or 14 day candle type situation where you are kind of doing that spell work every single day for an extended period of time, this would be a really good time to do it. Exactly like Maria said, the Capricorn moon extends. It's not a one and done day situation. And so this would be a really good time to plan out that spell work that maybe lasts all the way until the new year and you got something dramatic.
Yeah, I was talking to one of our Discord members, someone on the scrying mirror tier, and I was like, this time period is a great time to also set up a money altar because of the Capricorn. So like that slow, sustainable growth. That's what Capricorns love. So
they love it. They love structure. They love growth. They love stability. And we love that for them.
So if you just started listening to us, every episode we talk about a specific tarot card in no particular order. We go over the universal meanings and then our own interpretations of them. So this week we're talking about the Magician. I was surprised when I found out we haven't spoken about him upright, but we have reversed.
Really? Yeah. I'm also surprised to hear that. Yeah. That feels very off-brand for us, but here we are.
Yep. Here we are. So on this card, you will see our magician. His right hand with the wand is pointed towards the sky, and his left hand and pointer finger are pointing towards the ground. He is wearing a red cover over his white outfit, complete with a white headband. And if I pronounce this wrong, please forgive me. I've only seen it written and not said out loud. But the Ouroboros belt, an infinity symbol above his head. And in front of our magician, there's a table with everything our magician needs to bring, that he needs to bring his manifestation to life, including a cup, a sword, a wand, a pentacle. And the elements are even etched onto the table itself. And all around our magician grows plants, including above his head. So the keywords of this card are creation, power, and action. I thought this card was perfect for kitchen witchery, which we will be
discussing. Which is our main segment.
Yeah, like he's cooking. But whenever this card pops up in readings, it almost always is just reminding myself or the client of their power, whether it be magically or mundane. Usually it shows up when we're questioning if we have everything we need in order to create something or go after a goal. And the magician kind of lets us know that we do, in fact, have everything that we need in order to be successful. And it is time to bring our dreams, our intentions down to reality. I think it is also important to bring up the infinity symbol and the snake. It reminds us that, you know, the cycle of nature and of life, that even if this creation of yours doesn't work out, it will give birth and feed the next one, and so on and so forth. So yes, move forward with it and put all of your power into it. It will benefit you no matter what. So yeah. What are your opinions, Robin, dear?
I only want to add one thing because I totally agree with you. The only Thanks. Thing I want to add is that I know you touched lightly on the hands, right? Mm-hmm. Up and down, mm-hmm. which is like generally interpreted as like the as a symbol of the as above, so below. Mm-hmm. And in the magician card, the only thing I want to add with that is because of the addition of the as above, so below, it is that kind of union between the physical and the spiritual realm, the living and the dead, the beyond and the tangible. And so when we talk about things like anything that you want being at your fingertips, mm-hmm. this is in reference to both like our spiritual needs and our mundane needs. And I like that. I like that it kind of, I don't know, captures all aspects as opposed to just the physical.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Yeah. It lets you know that the universe is also on your side and is supporting you through it, like your guides and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And witches use your magic to help you with the mundane stuff in life. That's what's kind of the magician's yeah. like, hey, you have the power, magical power, to help you manifest
for both mundane and otherworldly things. Like, yeah. you've got it all at your fingertips. So it's really just about applying those tools that you've got. So, yeah. I don't know. I really like that addition. I really like the as above, so below touch. So.
I do, too.
So I just wanted to touch on that briefly.
Thank you for bringing it up.
You're welcome.
So this episode, we thought it would be fun to talk about kitchen witchery. You know, we're all, well, most of us are like baking a lot, cooking a lot, not eating out as much. And, you know, so we're in the kitchens more often. And mm-hmm. a great practical way to add magic to your everyday life is to involve it in your cooking. I mean, yes. it's so simple. You already have all the ingredients.
Yep.
You might as well. Like, and people always talk about wasting ingredients. You're not wasting it here. You're going to eat it. You're going to nourish your body. So
yep.
why not add some magic yes. to it?
First of all, I would like to say that I would by no means consider myself a witch in the kitchen. I want to be. It's mm-hmm. something that is so fun and great. I'm just not very good at it. But I think that brings a good element to this conversation, because I know Maria is a wizard in the kitchen, and I want to be, but I'm not. And so there's some practical elements that perhaps I can provide with this. I am a good cook, but I am, my strengths in magic typically don't lie in the kitchen. So yeah, Maria, let's start off. How do you do your kitchen witchery? What does that look like for you?
Okay, so as Robin said, I use kitchen witchery like
she's a kitchen wizard. That was supposed to be done in the tune of Pinball Wizard, just for the record.
You know, especially around like this time of year, it is almost like it's one of my favorite ways to involve magic in a practical way. And like, one thing I hear often is witches worry about, like, that witches worry about when it comes to kitchen witchery is that they feel like all the ingredients have to correspond with one another. And while that is great if they do, like, if you can get a recipe to all match up correspondence wise, that's
amazing.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But you're the real wizard.
Right? If you can just, like, I personally like to concentrate on one or a few ingredients and add them in with intention and to consider my overall correspondence when it comes to the meal. Like if I'm making veggie soup, which is rich in vitamins and overall good for the body, it will correspond to health, obviously. And in my personal opinion, your personal correspondences, no matter the ingredients that you're putting in, like if it's linked to memories, that's going to count more so than the other things. But, you know, just like with all correspondence work, we get them from, as I said, our personal memories, colors, history, and folklore, and even going off of how they look outside of the color, like, an onion, it has layers. So you're peeling back, you know, the layers of something, and does like your ingredient have seeds? Anything that contains seeds can help you grow something when it's connected to like the other correspondences. Like let's say something you are cutting up is green and has seeds. It can help you with financial abundance. And I feel like kitchen witchery can also involve prepping the ingredients. Like let's say, you know, like nothing that you are working with corresponds to the intention that you want to invoke. Like you can also like cut sigils and stuff like that into the hard veggies like potatoes, and because potatoes are white, so all purpose. Or you can do it in like
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. But also with prepping the ingredients, like let's say you're cutting an onion, you know, it automatically, well, most people, you start crying when you start cutting an onion. So it's great for like emotional release spell work.
Oh,
yeah.
I love these ideas.
Thank you.
I'm so bad at kitchen witchery because my problem is I have a system for my magic. I have a system in place on how I do things, and kitchen stuff is got a lot more ebb and flow than the control, right, that I can create at my altar space, or at least that I feel like I can create. And so I struggle with adapting to the needs of being in the kitchen. And so for me, the only kind of kitchen witchery that I have found useful is using sigil work in it. And I don't mean useful to my ability. So it is using sigils in spells that are in the kitchen. So I use it a lot in pies. I'm a lover of a pot pie. I love a good savory pie. Like, we know that I'm vegan. I don't eat meat, but I love meat pies. So like the fake meat ones. If you guys are ever in Oakland, check out Butcher's Son. Thank me later. So I really like those kind of like savory dinner pies. And I will carve sigils into those because I always feel like it's the easiest time to incorporate magic in because it's right there. I like to put them at the bottom of the pie. That way my husband's not like, what is this? Like, don't worry about it. Eat your pie.
I'm just imagining a pie coming out looking like all arcane, like there's
well, sigils
all over it.
I really like getting decorative on tops of my pies. I know that you've seen them before, you know, like my lunar phase pies that I do. And so I'm about to break the, what's it called? The third wall, the fourth wall, whatever the hell that's called. For my husband, who'll be listening to this, anytime that you see a pie that I made that has like a really cute decorative top, there are sigils underneath all of that. Because I like, I'm in that mindset, in that mood, and I like want to incorporate like my intention further with imagery. And so I do that with the images, because when it comes to the actual ingredients, I get way too in my head about it, and I feel like that detracts from like the intention that I'm trying to put out. So instead I just do it with images in things like pies and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, making pies and stuff is like a whole ritual. I mean, cooking, you know, is a whole ritual and stuff like that, but pies and making bread and stuff like that, I don't know. There's just something very special about it. That's what
I
do.
I make bread and I make pies. Back when I was blogging a lot more often, we all know anytime that a Sabi came up, I, you know, my ass was giving you a bread recipe. but yeah, that these are the things that I find the most successful, and kind of taking the moment that, like, let's say you're kneading dough or you're rolling out pie crust, to really like repeat kind of an incantation in your mind while you're doing it. That's how I find it most successful. The ingredient portion of it is kind of a non-factor for me.
Yeah. I have two things I want to bring up. I feel like you totally like sparked something.
Did I inspire you?
You did.
Oh my god!
You know, a lot of kitchen witches think that they need a particular space to do, like, to cook and stuff like that. But I personally, I think when you cook on your counters and stuff like that, you're feeding into that thing that you're making your home, your sacred space. You know, your countertop becomes your altar. The food becomes your ritual tools and stuff like that. So I really don't feel like you need a specific space. If you want to like kind of make it go a little bit over the top, you can, you know, light a candle with a corresponding color, or have like a crystal nearby with a corresponding color. And then what else do you have?
I do agree with the candle color as well. This is a really good time to invest in those dollar store votive candles, and you just keep them in your kitchen and you light them while you're doing stuff. It's not an ongoing burning thing. It is a, I have this, it's in a safe vessel, so I don't have to worry about it dripping into my kitchen. I'm using it for a short period of time, which means it's going to last forever, and you just get a rainbow set and keep them under your sink.
And another, like, I talked about, like, how memories and stuff like that can be linked to correspondences, but our emotions can, too. When, you know, someone makes something and they're like, oh, I want this to make somebody happy, and you keep thinking, oh, you know, happiness and stuff like that as you're making it, and, you know, you're feeding that energy into what you make, I really honestly believe people can, it will come across to people when you, like, I'm making something. I don't know if you've seen it.
You know, it's the expression, you can taste the love in something.
I love this movie, but it is terrible. Like, it's terrible. It's such a bad 90s movie, but so good. But it's called Simply Irresistible and has Sarah Michelle Gellar in it.
I don't know that one.
And it's it was like, it's about a magical crab that comes in the oven and gives her cooking powers. I'm not kidding.
Stop it. You're lying.
I'm not kidding.
You're lying. I'm Googling this. There's no way that's a real film.
It is.
What's it called? Simply Irresistible?
Yeah, it's about a magical crab that gives Sarah Michelle Gellar special magical powers that whenever when she cooks, people feel what she is feeling. And it's like very witchy and stuff like that. And it reminds me a lot of kitchen witchery.
This is a real film. What the fuck? More importantly, who plays the crab? Got a lot of questions. It got 1 out of 5 stars on Rotten Tomatoes. 16%. This is Psychotic.
I think all witches have to watch it. It's
I'm
a
going
must.
To watch it now. Like 1000%, I'm going to watch this.
I need.
This
sounds, we should have a coffee talk about it as soon as you watch
like
it.
This a fucking fever dream. This maybe that's
it,
our going to be our
fever
first,
dream. There's legitimately
maybe that's
a scene
first
where there
coffee
is
talk of season 4 because this is psycho. I love this. I love that. She really said, you know, I was on Buffy. I really put myself in a box, a Slayer box. I need to expand my range. I know. I'll do this magic crab movie. That's insane. I love that anecdote.
It blows my mind that she went from Cruel Intentions to something like this. It's so good. Like, he was like, oh, I want to be in a movie that features a magical crab.
I was thinking that I could be in this film. It does feature a magical crab, but it does give me superpowers.
Look, I'm just saying that cancers everywhere right now who are listening to our podcast are buzzing and want to watch this movie.
I am a cancer, and I'm concerned for your movie taste, but I am going to watch it.
I said it was terrible, but it's good. It's so good.
Yeah, but I didn't expect it to be that terrible. I really didn't expect you just to have the words come out of your mouth. It's a magical crab. You sound crazy right now. I love it. So,
I wish someone could
on the track.
I just wish someone could animate that part of the pod with a magical crab. He's so great.
Oh my God.
Anyways, crying, laughing. Okay.
Oh my God.
On to the next thing. Do you have a special memory when it comes to kitchen witchery?
So yes and no. No, because most of my memories that come with kitchen witchery are involving me stressing out. We've talked about this earlier. But Marie and I have a mutual friend named Trisha, and Trisha gave me this recipe, like it was a kitchen witchery recipe a few years ago that was lavender lemon cookies.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah. I remember those. Yeah.
And her and I like drank wine and made cookies, and it was amazing. It was truly like a 10 out of 10, like witchy moment for me. It felt so good.
That sounds very practical magic.
It was, except for instead of like cool choreographed like conga music, it was just us like getting louder and louder because we were drinking wine and getting progressively like louder and like laughing.
Hey, that's what happened in the movie.
Like witches though. Like we were full on cackling like stereotypical witches. And like we were talking shit about something, I don't remember what, but that's very on brand for us. So the difference there though is like Trish and I have been friends since we were 11, so there is an easy history there of getting drunk and cooking and just kind of screaming at each other. And it was good. The cookies probably could have been better. I don't feel like I did a great job on the cookies, but you could like, it was one of those situations where you could taste like the love and the intention in them, even mm-hmm. though they weren't the best cookies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. I totally get it. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
So mine actually involves my grandma. So she would always, I mentioned this at the beginning, she always made a veggie soup. For me specifically.
Yes,
and
I
so
remember.
Much love went into it. And I would always go to her house when I wasn't feeling well or anything, and she would take care of me and baby me and stuff like that. And
that's cute.
And would give me as much soup as my body could stand. Like I would gorge myself on the soup. And I swear that it would fix everything. Like she'd be like, do you want some soup? Like if I went through a breakup, do you want some soup? Like, you know, if I was like really, really sick. And no matter what, I always felt a little bit better after she made it. She would never, ever, ever call herself a witch. Like she was a fairy. No, there would be no way. But that veggie soup was definitely witchy. And I still make it for my family today. And I hope
I know the veggie soup. I know it because you've sent me the recipe before. So cute.
Yeah. But I love it. So whenever when I make it now, I think of my grandma. And I really do think it's a way to serve her spirit whenever when I make it. So
yeah. So if you give somebody a book recommendation that is around kitchen witchery, what direction would you point them in?
Any book by Laurel Woodward. I think that's her first name. Like, she has wrote Kitchen Witchery and The Garden Witch, or Garden Witchery. It might be Garden Witchery. But Kitchen Witchery is loaded with correspondences, like, for any veggie, flour, or anything you can think of. Like, she goes into all the different types of flour, like rice flour, and like,
that's good if you're gluten free too.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, if you're gluten free or have like intolerances, she's got you. Like, it covers, it's just amazing because she even covers like the different types of milks and stuff in their correspondence.
Wow. Meeting. Right? I'm gonna have to get that book. I don't have it. That's amazing.
It's a great book. Like, anyone who's ever like, so I want to get involved in some kitchen witchery, what book would you recommend? I'd be like, that one. That one's the holy grail. Like, she put her foot into that book. Like, it's really good.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the garden witchery is great, like, for like herbs and stuff like that, or even just like regular plants. And you're like, well, what? I know that this isn't a garden one, but like, it still involves some food. So, highly recommend that one as well. And there's also, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think. I think it might be Hearth Witch, or, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I should have written these down, but definitely has hearth in the title, and it's like continuum of herbs and food or something. Oh my gosh, I'm murdering this. I'm gonna let you say yours and then I'll come back to it. So go ahead.
Well, so like I said earlier, where I don't really rely on the correspondences per se because it stresses me out, I would recommend really any basic book on sigillery, temperance. Oh gosh, what's her last name? She did a big book on sigils. I have this in my brain.
I know who you're talking about.
Temperance. Oh, it's called Sigil Witchery is the book.
Sigil Witchery is the book. Yeah.
It's Laura Tempest Zachroff. I was so close. But her book on sigil witchery, I think, first of all, is really great if you're wanting to get into sigils of any kind. I just think it's a very good book. But simultaneously, utilizing that knowledge to then put the sigils into your food, I think is great. There's also a book that I actually was just talking to one of our Discord members about that was, it's the Penguin House Big Book of Symbols. Mm-hmm. And so utilizing the symbols then cut and put into the pies, right? Mm-hmm. You can utilize that information as well. So it's a different approach to kitchen witchery because it's just what works for me. But I like it. I don't know. That's what I recommend.
I like it too. Okay. I have the book, The Hearth Witch's Compendium. I probably said that wrong, but it's by Anna Franklin and it's magical and everyday living but it's really good. It's really good. And it covers like recipes and stuff like that. And then she also has like a follow up companion book, which is just straight correspondences.
The name of all these books, you guys, in the caption. Mm-hmm. So that way, if you are wanting to refer back to it, just check the caption. It should be there.
Yeah. And the next one is just her kitchen herbal. And that's one that covers stuff. But I do find, though, if you're going to go with just one book, get Laura Woodward's book because it covers so much.
So I would say that, I mean, not to toot our own horns here, but I feel like we've covered a pretty good and balanced approach to kitchen witchery. It gives you options.
We even gave you a movie rec.
We even gave you a great movie rec. And we are going to talk about that in a coffee talk in the future. So get ready for it.
I want Robin to like watch it tonight.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. Probably not tonight. But I'm going to watch it next week sometime. And we'll touch back base on this. Because that sounds psycho. Like,
so good. So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, thank you so much for asking.
You're so welcome.
I just got back from holiday. My best friend got married. She's going to be in the Coffee Talk episode that comes out next week. Yeah, I've just been like doing a lot and it's been really fun. I never take vacations, as Maria was just reprimanding me for.
It's because I always feel like my Sagittarius moon ass is always like, peace, I will be back later.
So I basically had like 2.5 weeks of being gone and scattered and just being on the other side of the world, which was amazing. I was in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I always forget like how spiritual like the people are over there, because mm-hmm. we were in the Gold Coast and there's like a lot of spirituality there, and it's fun, it's cool. In fact, we found Bine runes painted on rocks and my godson was like, what is this? And I was like, well, that's definitely a Bine rune. I was like, let's take pictures and we can figure it out when we get home. Mm-hmm. That was really cool and fun. And I don't know, there's just like, there's something about Australia that has just like this real energy to it. I think it's because of the people, just they're all very chill and just like laid back. In fact, I was approached at the wedding by somebody who I'd met before. Mm-hmm. But I didn't recognize her because it had been like 5 years. And she was like, oh, you know, I know you're doing like witchy stuff now. And I was like, what? I've been doing that. yeah, it's on the internet now. And it was just cool. It was cool. I don't know, good vibes. And I was really happy to get to watch Ash get married. She was a beautiful Aww. Bride.
I saw some pictures. She looked very happy and pretty.
Such a beautiful bride. She was so happy. Her husband is great. It was great. It was really good. I was glad to be there. So
you deserve it. You deserve a break.
Even if I had to be on a plane for 14 hours with a toddler. It wasn't that bad, actually. Like, the baby slept the entire way there. They threw up a few times, which wasn't very fun. But they slept the whole way there. And then on the way back, they slept a good portion of it. And we're just good otherwise. So it was fine. Aww. Yeah, it was good. It was really good. We had a good time. I know that, too, also... the Coffee Talk next week, they make a few appearances in the background.
And it's fine. It's adorable. It's
fine. And if you have a problem with
working
that,
mom.
Just don't listen to that episode, because that never, ever happens. So
yeah,
it is what it is. So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, I'll tell you. So, okay. As you all know, I'm very, 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 very pro, like, slowing down over, you know, winter. Like, I think it's so important. But, the pull to just, like, go slide onto the couch, wrap myself up in blankets, and just watch movies and be under the Christmas lights, like, for... That's all I'll do. Like, is very, very strong. I still got work to do. I still have some things I need to do. I can't, you know, rest hard later. But I've literally have just been longing for it, and I can feel my productivity like crashing, like nosediving. But it also doesn't help that, you know, we have, it's another La Nina year. Mm-hmm. And so it's been very cloudy and very rainy every single day, to the point where I can't even take photos every day, take videos every day, because it's too dark in my house. And I think that alone is like killing my creativity. So I'm like, well, what better thing to do than just to curl up on the couch and watch a movie? I mean, that sounds pretty. I could be doing other things and still being productive. And but I think when my creativity crashes, I kind of crash where I just don't want to do anything. And that's killing me. Because, you know, I'm already like, it's getting darker sooner, which is fine. Because I could be productive during the daylight hours. Like, mm-hmm. that's cool. But if it's dark all day to the point where my automatic lights that outside turn on when it gets dusk, turn on every single day. Like I'm effed like throughout the day.
Yeah.
It's a little much. It's a little much. So that's why, like, if you follow me on social media, I haven't been posting too often. It's not for lack of wanting to. It's because of the weather.
This is her way of telling you.
I keep seeing all these people post like amazing like Yuletide videos. I'm like, I don't have the light to do this.
That's fine. Funny. Yeah. If you're just joining us this week, every single week we talk about creators we are loving right now. This could be artists, photographers, small businesses, blogs, YouTubes, other podcasts, or just whatever the heck we want. These are organically found. These are not advertisements. So that being said, Maria, who are you digging this week?
So I got sent Zodiac Tarot by Cecilia Latari and Anna Chavez. And by the way, the it's by U.S. Games. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
But it is such a beautiful deck. Like, I just love the whole color palette. Like, the color palette is so beautiful, and so just the images are gorgeous. You would love it because, like, I think it's Judgment or something. It represents the angel in the biblical sense with the ton of eyeballs and wings.
But I do love that.
It is such a fun, colorful deck, and I don't like colorful decks, and I actually really like this one. I think it's like in my top 10
everyone
decks
take
now.
Notes. This is the first time Maria in the history of her life has said colorful deck, yes please.
But the only downside to this deck, and I do want to be clear about this, is the cardstock. It's shit. It's so bad. Yeah. Like it will be loved very fast. But I do think the images do make up for it. And it'll just be a very, it will look like a very loved deck, which I'm fine with, because I know a lot of people are like, oh no, my tarot deck, like it has some like rubbed edges and stuff. But I love that. It shows how much love and, you know, attention has gone into the deck. Yeah.
I
think it just makes it even better. But I do want to be clear about that, because I know that is a deal breaker for some people. And I don't know why they went with that cardstock when they went all out for, oh my gosh, the Fedor Pavlov deck. But I do wish the cardstock was better. Maybe if it's like does really well and people are like, hey, the cardstock, maybe they'll do what they did for Antique Anatomy and kind of make it better. So
yeah, because that was an issue I had with the Antique Anatomy. Very vocal about how shitty that cardstock was. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Beautiful cards. Beautiful.
That's what pissed me off about it, is that the artwork is just stunning. Chef's kiss in every way. Mm-hmm. And they just really reduced the quality of something that foundationally was perfect.
Yeah, it really is. It's probably just on the publishers, you know, they don't make cards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, for themselves, so they don't really understand how important cardstock is. But anyways, who are you loving?
So this is like a Christmassy theme. I figured I'd bounce off of what I knew Maria was going to talk about today, which was Christmas. Listen, I know my wife. This company, this creator is called White Christmas Wreaths.
So cute. Oh my God, I'm dying.
As a company and also as their social media handles, they, listen, if you know anything about me, you know that I am a slut for vintage, like kitsch. It's my favorite. It's my favorite genre of anything. I'm a mid-century modern whore. I love it. And they make Christmas wreaths that are like maximalist, vintage kitsch, and it is incredible in every way. I probably am going to buy one for Jessica, actually, because I think she would love it. They have one that I really, really like that's just light bulbs, like the vintage bulbs, and I'm like, yeah, I want that.
I like the Rudolph one from the claymation.
Oh my God, yes. They have like a vintage Santa one too. Did you see that one?
I did.
It was posted like a week ago.
Yeah,
I'm just obsessed. And the thing is that I know that these things are not always accessible to people for financial reasons or even just them being sold out. But I feel like these wreaths would make a really good inspiration for doing something similar at home. Mm-hmm. I just think they're really great. I love them a lot. And I feel like you could, if you wanted to take the time, go thrifting for similar style stuff and make your own version of this via inspiration. So I love it.
Very
I think it's
very pretty.
And so I feel pretty. Like you could take this same concept. I know we've talked about wreaths before in the past, like for magical uses. Mm-hmm. I feel like you could take this same sort of thing inspiration wise and make something that was like had intention into it.
Oh my gosh, imagine just a bunch of random antiques all over a reef. How cool
wouldn't that be? Incredible.
Like a cool little broken pocket watch.
Or like imagine if you like found a bunch of antique bells. Like,
oh my gosh.
And did like a whole bell like wreath for your front door. Ooh, for cleansing.
You could do one with like a pocket watch and you can be like, it represents yes. kind of like slow down time or to bring in the new year.
Yes. So I don't know. Like, I know that obviously this is very short, you know, limited time or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they are selling out so freaking quick that you probably can't get your hands on one. But I do think it would make a really good, like I said, inspiration for doing something similar at home. I really think they're great.
They're so cute.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope that you will join us again on Friday, December 16th for our coffee talk, which features my best friend from Australia, or on December 23rd for our 24th and final episode of season 3, where we will be joined by Temperance Alden for our Yule drinking game. You can keep an eye out on our Instagrams, Twitter, or you can just head straight to coffeeandcauldrons.com for more information. And don't forget to join us on Patreon November 17th for our class with Claire Goodchild of Black in the Moon's class on seances for the library tier and up. If you miss it, it will be available recorded a couple days after the class is done.
So additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions. Like, we even have a Leo waning moon next week. Mm-hmm. So if you still have time to join and join us, so just something to consider. And a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun. I just repeated myself. Yes, I did. Okay, we're just going to imagine I didn't do that. And we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. I just need to reiterate everything I previously said. You're
That's
welcome.
All. Yeah. As always, thank you to our Patreon members. Without you, this is not possible, the whole Patreon. And if you are loving our sexy, sensual, and just rock star voices that repeat themselves 10 times, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcast or Spotify. We love reading your reviews, and we appreciate seeing 5-star reviews as it helps us be seen by others. So thank you to everybody who has already done it and everyone who will do it in the future.
So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram,
and I'm Maria from At Maria the Arcane on Instagram.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Bye,
witches.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at TraceMinerals.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.